Now I'd like to introduce a man who's been to the Augusta Week on at least two subsequent occasions, and I think danced here at a festival even before that. And he comes from Bay Ridge in Brooklyn, not far from where Bill McComiskey here grew up. And he's going to dance a set dance for you. This man has been North American step dancing champion on many occasions, and he now runs his own dancing school in Brooklyn, and he's here to teach Irish dance in the course of Augusta Week. And I'd introduce Donnie Golden. This is a set dance called The Hunt, and it's an old tune that's been composed and elaborated upon by the dancing masters of the 18th century in Ireland and passed down to the current generation of dancers in Ireland and America. There and the tattered remnants of Donnie Golden will be back later on to dance for you. I'm going to sing a song I got from the singing of a wonderful singer from the south of Ireland, from the town of Macroom in the county Cork, a woman called Elizabeth Cronin. Never ventured far from her own native town, or I should say probably village, in her lifetime, but passed on a great legacy of songs to the current generation of singers, not only in the south of Ireland, but indeed all over the country. And this song is one of my very favorite from her vast store of songs. It's called How Can I Live on Top of a Mountain?
How can I live upon the top of a mountain with no gold in my pocket and no money for to count it? I would let the money go, all for to please her fancy, for I would marry no one but my bonny blue-eyed Nancy. She's my bonny blue-eyed Nancy, with an air so sweet and tender, her walk like swan that floats, and her ways so small and slender. Her golden hair and ringlets fair hangs o'er her milk-white shoulders, and I'd ask her for for to marry me, and no man could be bolder. There's some people say that she is very low in station. There's other people say she'll be the cause of my ruination. But let them all say what they will, to my love I'll prove constant still, till the day I die. She'll be my own lovely lady. It's lightly swims a swan o'er the dark waters of Ochil, and lively sings the nightingale, so happy to behold her. The winds may blow, the moorcocks crow, the moon may shine so deeply. But deeper by far is my love for my own lady. She's my bonny blue-eyed Nancy, with an air so sweet and tender. Her walk like swan that floats, and her waist so small and slender. Her golden hair in ringlets fair hangs o'er her milk-white shoulders, and I ask her for to marry me, and no man could be bolder.
Well, Bill and Liz here are going to play a couple of great reels. And the first reel is a reel composed by a great gentleman who lives in Philadelphia. And a couple of months ago, he just turned his 86th birthday. And he came originally from the County Cavan and has been living in Philadelphia since 1910. And a great fiddler he always was in his day, and sort of the heart and soul of the Irish music scene in Philadelphia for over 50 years. But he's best known in the world of Irish music as a composer, and has composed hundreds of tunes, and many of them have entered the Irish music tradition in America and in Ireland. His name is Ed Reavy, and the first tune that Bill and Liz are going to play is a tune he called The Road to Shercock, and they're going to follow that by a tune composed by a great accordion player and also a great composer from the county Tipperary, a man called Paddy O'Brien. And I don't think he ever put a name on it, so they're going to call it Paddy O'Brien's. So. Thank you. as those of you who are involved in Irish Week will know, when Irish musicians anywhere in the world get together, they like to play reels followed by reels, and then for an encore they play reels. And then, as an afterthought, sometimes reels also come into the picture. And it's just the way the whole culture is. There are thousands and thousands of them. And even though to the, I suppose, to the general audiences of both Ireland and anywhere else, they sort of sound the same, to the musicians they don't. There's a different flavour. There's a different story behind everyone, you know. There's always a musician you learned it from, or somewhere you were in where you played it that you have fond memories of. Sometimes not so fond memories of, you know. But there's always a story. So that's by way of an apologia for the fact that we're going to inflict more reels upon you immediately after the last batch. The first is called, as I consult my raggedy bit of paper here, The Bank of Ireland. We're not too good in names for tunes. That's why we have to continually remind ourselves of the names. The Bank of Ireland, I have no idea why that august institution should have applied its name to a reel. No doubt there's also a story behind that, but we don't know that one. It's a very economical piece of music. The second tune we're going to play is a tune associated with the playing of a great fiddler from the north of Ireland, a man called Sean Maguire. And the third tune is a composition of a great accordion player from the County Cork, a man called John O'Dwyer. So, three reels.
Thank you.
now a great pleasure to introduce a man who's making his first public appearance ever in West Virginia. And he's a legend back home among Irish traditional singers. For well over 25 years now, he's been combing the roads and highways and byroads of Ireland, collecting songs, many of which he rescued from oblivion through his endeavors. And he's known in Ireland as probably the singer's singer with the greatest repertoire currently possessed by any person singing Irish traditional songs. From Dublin, it's my great pleasure to introduce Frank Hart.
The kindness of Mick Maloney embarrasses me, really. Not usually like that. He asked me to sing in reel. I refused to sing a reel. When small nations are oppressed by larger nations, they tend to turn to sarcasm in their song as the only way they can hit back, and they can't hit back any other way. When large nations cannot destroy a small nation, they tend to try and laugh at them and deride them. And throughout our history, we have been laughed at. We've been fairly successful, but we've been laughed at. And this song, written in the last century, tells of the same condition that applies today with the Irish and English in England. It's a song called Here I Am from Donegal. So times don't change that much. By the way, the jokes they have are not original. They stole them from the American Polack jokes and just put in the Irishman. Oh, here I am from Donegal, I feel quite discontented, for to see the way that we're run down, not highly represented. For to see it is a general rule to make out Pat a knave or fool, but never mind, he'll play it cool and stand up for old Ireland. Do me justice, treat me fair, and I won't be discontented. But I won't be laughed at anywhere, but highly represented. Now Mr. Punch with his literature, he treats us very badly, and when he draws our caricature, he depicts us rather sadly. With crooked limbs and villainous face, he thus depicts the Irish race. We say it is a sad disgrace, and we think so in old Ireland. Do me justice, treat me fair, and I won't be discontented, but I won't be laughed at anywhere, but highly represented. When on the stage I do appear with a thundering big shillelagh, with a ragged coat and a tattered hat, you think I come out gaily. With not a word of common sense, they don't know when they give offence, but they carry on at Pat's expense. Why don't they come to Ireland? Do me justice, treat me fair, and I won't be discontented, and I won't be laughed at anywhere, but highly represented. They say we are dirty and lazy got, but where's the use to grumble? But if they visit an Irish cot, they're made welcome, though 'tis humble. But in public works the country round, or where hard work it is to be found, in the railway tunnels underground, you'll find the boys from Ireland. Do me justice, treat me fair, and I won't be discontented, and I won't be laughed at anywhere, but highly represented. 'Tis very true, I like a glass, it makes me feel quite frisky, and I'm very fond of an Irish lass, but I'm partial to the whiskey. I am very quiet when left alone, but I do what I like with what's my own, and woe be to the foes of home who would dare run down old Ireland. Do me justice, treat me fair, and I won't be discontented, and I won't be laughed at anywhere, but highly represented. That's you go. That's not whiskey. In our tradition, we have songs which are found here. I speak with Mike earlier on there. We were talking about various songs. One he had was Polly Vaughan, which he called Polly Bingham, I think, which is our Molly Vaughan. But another one, which I'm sure is in your tradition as well, I sang it today for some people. It's a lover's ghost type of song, where the beloved dies and must come back to visit the beloved. She's usually in bed and is very glad to see him. He can only stay as long as the moon doesn't go down, or the sun doesn't rise, or the cock doesn't crow. And in the old Indian, not your Indian, the Indians from India, on their old literature, there are sketches of the two lovers on the couch with a cock on the windowsill and him throwing a shoe at the cock. Obviously the same story, to try and keep the cock from crowing. And in the song, they try to bribe the cock by giving him beaks of gold and so forth, so that he won't crow. This is a version of the lover's ghost called True Lover John, and it's from County Antrim. And I learned it from a beautiful man called Joe Holmes. What I told you this morning about changing the key still apply. I was lucky on the first one. Oh, it happened far to be, on a cold winter's evening, a fair maid sat waiting alone. She was thinking on her father, likewise her aged mother, and also her true lover, John. Now young Johnny, he was sweet, and he promised for to meet, but he tarried an hour too long, and he met with great delay, which caused him far to stray, and she weary waiting all alone. When young Johnny came at last, he found the door was fast, and he slowly, slowly tinkled at the pane. And this fair maid, she arose and gathered on her clothes in order to let young Johnny in. Well, he held her in his arms, and off to bed they went.